You know, it's interesting. Some songs, when you sing them, they make you kind of want to get excited and clap your hands and shout. And some songs like that, when we just sing, just gives you kind of a spirit of contemplation. You just think back about what the Lord's done and the valleys you've been through. So sometimes it's not always appropriate to shout and run the aisles and everything. Sometimes it's good just sit back and think about what God's done. Amen? Thank you, Regina, for sharing that. Thank you in faith. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. We're going to be looking this morning about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of misconceptions about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at some of those this morning, but look about really what do we need to do to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to read about this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. We're going to look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians and what he says to them about the Holy Spirit. So if you found it, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired word? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, notice that key, what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the wording there is it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's a command. Paul says you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you this day for your salvation. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Jesus, that you sent to indwell within us when we trust you by faith. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to your truth, to convict us of our need, and to birth us into the family of God when we, by faith, receive Jesus as our Savior. Then you dwell within us, Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us in all truth. Jesus, help us to be filled with your Spirit today and every day. For your glory, we pray in Christ's name, and amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of misconceptions about being filled with the Spirit. What is it? A lot of folks say, well, it's a second baptism, but you get saved, and somewhere later on down the line, you get another anointing of the Holy Spirit. You get the second baptism. But Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 through 6 says this. There is one body and one Spirit, just you were called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There are not several baptisms, there's one. And you receive the Holy Spirit when you trust Jesus Christ by faith. You're born again of His Spirit. The moment you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit. But there's something about that. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can basically silence Him in your life if you're a Christian by not doing what the Lord wants you to do. That's the reason Paul is saying to the Ephesians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not to be drunk with wine, which is an evil spirit, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, that word means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people say, well, if you get spiritual, that is, fill the Holy Spirit, you're going to run out, you're going to shout, you're going to scream, you're going to jump three pews. I've never tried that. I'd break a leg if I did that. Amen? You're going to testify? Well, those things may be true. You may cry when the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart. You may testify. You may want to shout. You may want to just praise God loudly, but not always. You know, everybody's different. God didn't make us with a cookie cutter. And some people are very emotional, and some people get really excited when they feel the Spirit within them, and they want to testify, they want to shout, and they want to praise God. But some people just want to get quiet and just thank God for what He's done for them. You know, some of the most spiritual prayers that I have ever heard, you know who they were from? Little widow ladies. Because God says, I'll be your husband when your husband dies. And they had a walk with God. And the first time I ever heard one of those ladies pray when I first started pastoring, I just said, man, I wish that lady would pray all the time. It was a spirit-filled prayer. And she wasn't loud. She didn't scream. She didn't holler. She didn't cry. She didn't do anything. She just prayed in the Spirit of God. You know, really, when we've received the Holy Spirit, if you really know what the results is of being filled with the Spirit, we're going to look at it in a minute. It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Those things. See, if you're controlled by the Spirit, that's what's going to come out of you. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, self-control. So how does a person be filled with the Holy Spirit? If Paul says it's a command, it's something we've got to, so to speak, do. So how do we do that? I want you to notice the first thing here. I think it takes an emptying of self. See, before something can be filled, it has to be emptied. If it's already full of something else, you can't put anything else in it. What that means is an emptying of self-gratification. You know, sometimes it's all about us, our wants, our needs. Or do we look and say, God, I want your will? Analyze your prayers sometimes. I do this sometimes, and it kind of digs me up when I analyze my prayers. And I ask God, how much of my prayers are for me and what I want and my needs and my desires and my motives? Am I really praying in the Spirit what God wants? Adrian Rogers said it this way one time. The prayer that gets answered in heaven is the one that starts in the heart of Jesus. It's communicated to us through the Holy Spirit. We pray, and in the power of the Spirit, it goes back to the Father who answers our prayer. It's a circle. See, when it's in the heart of Jesus and in the heart, Holy Spirit puts it in our heart, Holy Spirit takes us back. God does his will. See, we need to search our motives sometimes. Say, well, why are we praying this? Are we full of self-gratification, what I want, what I need, what would make me bring me pleasure? And it's an emptying of self-glorification, not for others to see us, but to see Jesus. You know, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit that he gave us was, Jesus said, when he comes, he will glorify me. I brought a glove here with me this morning. Simple glove. Yeah, probably all of you got a glove here. Now, I want to tell you something. This glove is a pretty neat little thing. Hey, glove. Wave at me. Oh, well, glove, can you point out anybody here that needs to be pointed at? Well, glove, can you warm my hand? My hands are cold this morning. Glove, can you do anything? Glove can't do anything because it's empty inside. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. See, we're kind of like this glove without the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything. We need to be filled so we can do what he calls us to do. See, it's not about us. It never has been about us. It's always been about him. Amen? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it takes an emptying of self. Emptying of our self-gratification, our self-glorification. Also takes an obedience to Christ. He says, be filled. It is a command, and I mentioned, you know, we sing a song, follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere he goes. I will follow you, Lord Jesus. Do we really sing that and mean it? When we sing, I surrender all, do we really surrender all? I read just this morning, one of my devotionals, a slave has to obey his master because he's a slave. An employee has to obey his employer because he needs to. He needs his job, needs the income. But a son wants to obey his father because he loves him. See the difference? We obey him because we love him because he first loved us, and we love him in return because of what he's done for us. Disobedient children can't know the blessings of the Father. It takes an obedience to Christ to be filled with the Spirit. It means being committed to Christ. You're like, what is our priorities? What's the order? You know, so many people in our world today, they'll have me as first, job is second, family third, and maybe Christ if he gets on the scene at all. Or some people, if they have the right order, would say Christ first, family second, job third, and then me. So do we have a half-hearted obedience to Christ or a whole-hearted devotion to him? See, it means being committed to Christ. Don't answer this. Just think about it. Are you committed to Christ? Completely? Wholly? Fully? If you are, he'll fill you with his Spirit. It also means being controlled by Christ. You know, somebody gets drunk, they do a lot of crazy things, amen? I mean, they'll talk out of their head. And sometimes we say they lose their inhibitions. Their thoughts, their speech gets way out of line. Their actions, maybe they drive a car and even can't even drive it properly and end up hurting themselves or somebody else. When somebody is controlled by wine or alcohol, they're controlled by the alcohol and the old nature. The old man loses his inhibitions, or she loses her inhibitions. Our thoughts, matter of fact, over in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 25, talks about somebody who gets drunk, and he said he'll say things, and he'll do things, and he'll act out things. It's just totally characteristic, and then he'll even hurt himself, and he's bruised, and don't even know where it got bruised at, and then when he gets sobered up, he says, well, I'm going to do it again. That's being controlled by the alcohol. Paul says not be controlled by that, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Do we allow the Holy Spirit to control us? Our thoughts? Our speech, our actions. I say, well, I think. Well, what does Christ's word says? Well, let me tell you something. If you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, one of the first things you want to do is read this book. Hello? You want to study. You want to learn more about him. You want to learn what his words say. You want to be controlled by him. And if you are, you'll be studying the word of God. Like a drunk drinks to be drunk again. A child of God wants to study the word to be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again. You know, it's something too that it's not a one-time thing. You know, I can be filled with the Spirit today, and tomorrow, if I'm not doing what I need to be doing, the Holy Spirit's still in me, but I can not be controlled by him. I can be in charge. See, when you study, you want to follow him. You'll ask him for his leadership. You'll ask him for his wisdom. You'll ask him for his power. You'll ask him for his strength, his grace, his knowledge, his understanding that you could do the will of God and you can be a witness for him. If you're a child of God, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. I remember Adrian Rogers. I talk about Adrian Rogers a lot because I learned so much from the man. But I remember him talking about one time when he was a senior in high school. He was a football player down in Florida where he grew up. God had called him to preach, and he said one night after their game on Friday night, he went out to the field, and he knelt down on the field, and he prayed, God, fill me with your spirit. He said it was silence. He said he laid down on the field in the grass, God, fill me with your spirit. And there was no word. And he said, I literally with my hands dug out a hole in the ground and stuck my face down in the dirt and said, God, I want to be filled with your spirit. And he just said the Spirit of God came upon him. And he said, I never forget that. When I get as low as I can go, he will take me as high as he wants to. Amen. It's kind of like sometimes somebody say this, well, I want to be a great preacher. Holy Spirit says, Well, I want to be a great Christian. I want to be a witness for you. Uh-huh. You know, I want to do really wonderful things. I want to be like somebody who does all kinds of humanitarian aids and do great things for people and be well known. And the Holy Spirit says, but when you get to the point and you say, Holy Spirit, I want to glorify Jesus in whatever way you want me to do, Holy Spirit says, I'm with you. I can help you. Are we obedient to Christ? Are we emptying ourselves of all the things that he can fill us? It takes an observance of faith. We're saved by faith. Hello? Not a works of righteousness we have done, by his mercy and grace he has saved us. And when you stop and think about it, we're saved by faith and we're told to walk by faith, but sometimes we don't get that. The old man wants to take back over after we've trusted Christ to be saved. He starts wanting to take back over and we start wanting to do what we want to do. You know, believing in God will fill us with his Holy Spirit. Having faith in Jesus, wanting to do his will fill us with his spirit. The Galatians, I love Galatians chapter 3 because Paul is talking to them about the same thing that we have in our lives every day. And he says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ is clearly portrayed among you as crucified? He said, I preached the gospel to you. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He rose from the grave to give you eternal life. And he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you're getting away from the truth of the gospel? He said, verse 2, this only would I want to learn from you. Did you receive by the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Paul said, how'd you get saved, Galatians? Keeping the Levitical law? Did you get saved by doing the sacrifices and the rituals? Or did you get saved by trusting in Jesus? It was a rhetorical question. They knew the answer to that. They got saved by trusting in Jesus Christ by faith. And then he says this. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are now being made perfect by the flesh? See, that's what we do. We get saved by faith. We trust Jesus by faith. And all of a sudden, we start trying to live this Christian life out in our own strength and our own will and our own flesh. It doesn't work very well, folks. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to fail. Did you get saved by hearing of faith, by the works of the law? You got saved by faith. Or how are you going to live your life? By faith or the works of the law? We're going to live our life by faith. See, there's a relinquishing by faith, a giving up of control, not to anything or everything. There's a lot of different spirits in this world. But it's allowing the Holy Spirit through the God's word to come into control in our finances and our thoughts and our actions, our desires. I see these bumper stickers along sometimes. And if you got one, I don't even know it, so I'm not just kind of smacking you around, okay? But they have these bumper stickers that says, God is my co-pilot. I cringe when I see that. You know why? God's not my co-pilot, he's my pilot. God and I are not in this thing where he's saying, hey, we'll work this thing together. God said, you lead me, you let me lead you, and you can have what you want. You can have desires of God. He's not your co-pilot, he's your pilot if he's your Savior, amen? I remember back in 1986, Robert, I'd been saved about a year and a half and was playing the little gospel group over at Community Baptist Church, playing my flat-top guitar with them. And then I think I had electric, too. And we'd go around, like, on Saturday nights at different churches and sing and play. And I had season tickets to Tennessee football games back in those days. And some of you aren't going to believe this. Maybe you're not around long enough to remember this. Tennessee had beaten Alabama four times in a row. Matter of fact, there's several times Tennessee's beaten Alabama several years in a row. And they were going to play Alabama again, and I had tickets. And all of a sudden, our leaders, the group says, hey, we're supposed to play Saturday night at so-and-so church. I got a problem. I got season tickets to Tennessee and Alabama, but I'm playing with the group. And God just kindly spoke to me. He said, which is more important to you, a football game or honoring me? I gave the tickets away. I think that's the reason Alabama won 56-28 that day. God was showing me it was not about a football game, amen? Maybe there's things in your life. God is saying, are you ready to relinquish it? Give it up to me so I can give you something better? There's a reacting by faith. You react by faith to life's problems and to what goes on in life, the joys and the obstacles, the opportunities and the discouragements. And the Bible tells us to grieve not the Spirit of God. In other words, God wants us to do this, and he wants to help us with this, but we say, no, God, we're going to do it our way. I'm going to do it my way and how I want to do it. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It hurts him. I remember several years ago, I think probably the first time I ever saw Anthony, heard him sing a song. I think it was one of our Thanksgiving services. He said, sang a song, and I'm sure many of you know the song. Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Does he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Do I cause him such pain? And he goes on and on about that in the song. And I think about it. When I failed, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When I don't do what I need to do, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When I don't let God do what he wants to do, it grieves the Holy Spirit. But you know, Paul said in Romans, anything that's not of faith is sin. Hello? There's a reacting by faith to life's trials and troubles and obstacles and joys. React by faith, trusting in God, whatever comes our way, that He's in control. And then there's receiving by faith. We receive salvation by faith. We've talked about that. We receive the Spirit by faith. Well, what will happen if you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you in all truth, is what Jesus said. He will teach you. He will comfort you. He will glorify Jesus through you. And you will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, He said, you're going to bear fruit. He said, you're going to bear much fruit. He said, you're going to bear more fruit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we talk about sometimes when somebody sees you. There's something different about you. You're exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. Now, and let me tell you something, too. That fruit is singular. I heard a preacher illustrate it one time. You take an orange and you peel it, and you're going to peel the orange, and it's got all these little segments in it. It's got little slices of the orange. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is like an orange. And all these little segments are part of it. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance. See, you really can't have one without the other. You can't be hateful and full of love. You can't have peace when you're aggravated and mad all the time. You can't be gentle and good when you're full of anger and resentment toward people. It all goes together. When Holy Spirit's control, all of these things are going to be manifest all the time in your life. There's the fruit of being a soul winner, leading somebody to Jesus. Well, I said, John chapter 15, you're going to bear fruit. That's somebody being saved. You're going to bear more fruit. Many people being saved. Much fruit for the kingdom of God. I wasn't too proud of my glove a while ago. Amen. It couldn't do anything. But I can put it on and fill it with my hand. It can wave at you. It can point at you. Can warm my hand. Can hold things. This glove can do a lot of things, but it's not the glove that does it. It's me inside the glove. Amen. That's what Jesus says. Let me fill you. We're like the gloves. Let me fill you with my Holy Spirit. And it's going to be amazing what God will do in your life. See, it's going to be amazing, and it will is amazing and will be amazing what Jesus can do with a Christian who's filled with the Holy Spirit. The question is, will we allow Him? He wants to. Amen. He wants to do great and mighty things through all of us. You know, it's kind of amazing. Sometimes we talk bad about Pentecostals, because they emphasize the Holy Spirit. And they've scared us Baptists sometimes. And we think, oh my goodness, get full of the Holy Spirit. You're going to do some crazy stuff. But I think a lot of times they got it right. That we've held our hands back to the Holy Spirit. And said, no, we don't want the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? The church worldwide, all over the world, the majority... Matter of fact, put it this way. When we get to heaven one day, do you know the majority of Christians in heaven are not going to be white, they're not going to be Caucasian, they're not going to be American, and they're not going to be speaking English. Hello? They're going to be Asians, they're going to be African peoples, Negroes. They're going to be speaking probably Mandarin or some other language. Mandarin right now is the language most known in the whole world. But by all that church worldwide, do you know what 70% of the church worldwide is? Pentecostals. They're not Baptists. We're in a minority. Why am I saying all that? Don't be afraid of letting God have His way in your life. Don't be afraid of asking Him to fill you with His Spirit. Don't be afraid of letting Him have control of your life, because He'll take good care of you. Amen? Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't seek to glorify the Holy Spirit. We seek to come alongside and let Him glorify Jesus through us. We praise You, Lord. Lord, I pray that there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus, never been born again of your spirit, Lord, that this morning that they would trust him and be saved. Lord, but for every Christian here, Lord, what is it that you want us to empty ourselves of, Lord, that you could fill us with your presence and your peace and your will? Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning about what you'd desire to do in our lives. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed as we prepare for our invitation this morning, what's God speaking to you about this morning? Is there something that you need to empty yourself of? Self-will, self-desire, eyes on the throne, and you say, I want Jesus on my throne. I want him to lead me. Just a moment, we have this time of invitation. You want to come and just kneel down and say, Lord, I don't know what it means except for just, I need you to fill me. I need you to control me. I give you my life. If you're here and you're not saved this morning, if you just come and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to know heaven as my home. I know that I'm a sinner without hope, without Christ. You come, I'll pray with you. I'll show you in the Word of God how you can be saved and born again in the family of God and receive his Holy Spirit. If there's some other decision you need to make this morning, whatever it may be, surrender this morning to Jesus. Let him have his way. And he'll do great and mighty things which you know not. Look forward to it. Father, we give you praise this morning. I pray you just draw us to yourself now that we'd be clay in the hands of the potter. Bring us to yourself now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?